The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We've got to speak the truth, and we've got to speak it in season, out of season, whether it's popular or whether it's not popular.
Coming up, speaker and author Lisa Bevere offers insights that call us to rise up in strength and numbers to change the world.
I do believe that Jesus came as a lamb and he is coming back as a lion. I do believe that God is asking the sons and the daughters to rise up together.
The Lioness Arising, next.
We're so glad we have this opportunity to share this time with you. I'm James Robinson Betty, and I welcome you to Life Today. We're going to be talking to Lisa Bevere in a moment. Let me mention something to you that I'd really like to encourage you to do. If you've been watching us, you know we bring in guests from all the different parts of the family of God. And we bring people who would not normally be in the same setting, and yet they're totally comfortable because they're in a setting of love. We love people. We love everybody. I mean, we may have people we disagree with, but when we disagree, we're going to disagree in a spirit of redemption, where we either want to help that person understand the standard that we move toward, or where they help us understand the standard. And so we're trying to help get truth out, because truth liberates. We believe in kingdom life. We believe in the presence of God being here now. We don't have to go to heaven to get there. We can have the power and presence of God's heavenly presence here, the kingdom here now. I write an article every week. It's posted on jamesrobinson.net. Now notice, I don't have a middle end, so you got to go to it right. But what I'd like you to do is start following my commentary. I will many times write on national issues of concern, the things that are really on your heart. And I spend a tremendous amount of time praying about this. You can go back and peruse through and see various articles. I talked one article, when the silent majority speaks loudly. That's when people assume the responsibility of living like a person in freedom to help protect freedom, who will point to a standard that corrects us all, not that we impose on others. If the silent majority would become active and become the hedge of protection by proclaiming the truth and demonstrating the truth, don't just preach it, live it. Read some of the articles, forward them. Share them with someone, all right? And you can follow us on Life Today, and you can see a weekly devotional there. Don't miss them. Lisa Bevere has written a book that's in the bookstore. She's written many. This one is out now, Lioness Arising. It's fabulous. It talks about the family and the pride. That's what the family of lions is referred to as, and their love for one another and how they relate. It's quite powerful. Talks about the influence that women could and should have. And then here's another one, Purity's Power. This teaching she did right here. We're going to talk about this as it, let's say, relates to kingdom life, power, and presence. Welcome Lisa Bevere back to Life Today. Lisa, glad to see you.
Great to be with you guys.
Now, I want us to cover a little ground here. I want you in relationship to what I'm talking about. When I really want to see a healthy family. When you talk about the lioness, you talk about how they relate as a family. When you talk about the importance of purity, you're basically talking about standards and practices that lead to the benefit of all of us. Mm-hmm. Relate to our audience some of the things that you sense in light of where you hear me coming from.
Well, first of all, I want to say I've read some of your articles, and they are very crucial, and I hope that everybody will begin to read them, because I think you're very well informed in some areas that I'm actually not well informed, and you really lend a lot of strength and insight to me when I read those articles that I otherwise would not have. I travel too much. I don't get this, and so I thank you for taking the time and really faceting those articles, because they're really important. You know, James, when I first wrote Kiss the Girls and started to talk about purity, number one question I got from the young girls is, I really think the number one question I hear in the church is, how far is too far? Mm. how far can I go sexually? How far can I go in debt? How far can I go, you know, before I lose the blessing of God? And it's really the wrong question, you know? And so I will tell the young girls when it's talking about the sexual things, or I've told my boys, you know, you can go as far with your boyfriends, as far with your girlfriend as you are comfortable doing in front of your father. Mm-hmm. And we need to remember that we have a father that is watching us. And it doesn't matter what we are getting away with because of everybody else. We have a God that we have a standard to and we answer to. And we're all one in this, and we need to understand that if somebody else is in shame and if somebody else is in sin, it affects me. And I don't out them, I don't isolate myself from them. I need to go and I need to restore them. But we do need to speak the truth. And the truth has become a lie, and people that speak the truth are considered judgmental and harsh and whatever. And I do understand a lot of people have done it in that manner. But there's a generation rising up that's saying, we really want to hear the truth. And I think that there's too many leaders afraid to say it because they're afraid they'll be rejected or the government might get upset with them. We've got to speak the truth, and we've got to speak it in season, out of season, whether it's popular or whether it's not popular. And, you know, I've always spoken the truth to my boys when it came to the sexuality, but I'm also speaking it to generations of guys and girls that they've never had their parents do that. They've never had their parents say, they'll just say it's wrong, and they never say why it's not right. Why this? And we've lost our moral compass. And I also believe that we really need to be people that understand that we're living in a time right now where God is shaking the earth. We've already shaken our system. But when God begins to shake the earth, then people begin to look for a standard. And there is a standard bearer. And we need to be people that understand we were handpicked for this time. We were handpicked for this moment on earth. God said, to whom much is given, much is required. We are the people that God has entrusted with much. There has never been so much learning. There has never been so much of the word. There has never been so much diversity. If you don't like this church, you can go to this church. If you don't like that, you can go. There's never been so much truth and yet so much lack of transformation because people don't grab a hold of the truth. They don't live the word. They just study it. They don't like this person. They don't like that music, and they pick and choose. But we have been hand chosen for this time, and that entrustment is God saying, I believe that you guys will do something good with this. I believe that this is a season of much needed and much required means that you're going to rise up and be people much. I do believe there needs to be a fierce uprising in the church, not fierce against people, but fierce for truth, fierce for the safety of others, fierce for the passion and the heart of God. I do believe that Jesus came as a lamb and he is coming back as a lion. I do believe that God is asking the sons and the daughters to rise up together, not to fight with each other, but to rise up in each other's strength. We have this picture of a lion and a lioness, and they're face to face and they're just magnificent. And it's the lion and the lioness just in love with each other, looking at each other. And I believe that's Christ and his church. I believe that's our marriage. I believe that's pastors and their churches. I believe that's what the world is looking for us, to come to a face-to-face agreement with strength. I love that you're gathering leaders. I love that you celebrate diversity to say, you know what? Let's get face-to-face. Let's get face-to-face so that you can't just attack somebody you can't see. And let's see what this looks like face-to-face. And this is really our season right now for that. You know, I had an opportunity to watch a movie with my son, Arden. And, you know, when your 16-year-old son pats the sofa and asks you to sit down next to him, you don't say, what are we watching? You know, you just sit down and you just do it. And I was kind of cuddling, and I was a couple minutes into the movie, and I said, what is this? And he said, we're watching Terminator 1. I said, oh, my gosh. It was 80s awful. It was everything horrible about the 1980s in one movie. And yet there's a principle that I want to bring forward. I'm watching this, and it's the story of Sarah Connor. She's a waitress. She's riding a moped. She's smoking cigars. She's on a break. She finds out Arnold, the former governor of California, has come back from the future trying to kill her. And she goes out into a bar, which is the response to an overwhelming thing. Just go anesthetize it. She's out in this bar, and all of a sudden, she doesn't just have the assassin from her future, she also has her protector from the future on scene. And Arnold starts killing everybody. Her protector grabs her and says, if you want to live, come with me. And I really feel right now that that's where we're at. Come on, if you want to live. And he takes her in the car, bullets are flying, Arnold's punching through the windshield. He begins to tell her who she is. He begins to tell her that she's a hero. He begins to tell her there's something more than her everyday existence and her everyday life. And she begins to yell, I haven't done anything. But he looks at her and he says, no, but you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that this generation needs to understand, yes, they're a target. Yes, women are a target. 50 million are women right now. Women are missing right now. 50 million are missing because of gendercide. their target. Youth, their target. But they just might be a hero. Mm. And we need to understand the attack right now on the church has much more to do with who the church might be in the future than who she has been in the past. And so I believe our greatest days are in front of us.
And I'm confident that that's why I'm hearing about the importance of living in His presence in the present. Not just looking for the great upper taker, not looking to escape, but to be clothed in His righteousness and the armor of God, to be a light that pierces the darkness, to be a hedge against the storm of pollution and assault. Lisa, when you were talking about purity and about the challenges, one of the things I know, and by the way, you talk in your testimony and in many of your writings about eating disorders and how women go to great extremes. Mm-hmm. Would you agree that the appetite, even the natural appetite for food, can take us the wrong way, either to deprive ourselves to try to look appropriately, or we just indulge until we're not even healthy? You agree that that appetite is very strong and very real?
Absolutely. I think the goal of a fallen culture is to be sexually attractive. And so we have all these girls trying to starve themselves to look like this model that's on a cover that we actually know isn't even really like that in real life. She's hoping that if she looks like that, then she'll have value. Or maybe she's been sexually molested or decided that's never going to be something, so she eats to really hide her pain and put some distance between her and other people. And, you know, I really feel like right now we have people that are so overwhelmed by the appetites of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of other things, and they're finding out that it's all empty. And they're dying for the presence of God, but they don't know that's what they're hungry for. They want purpose. And when people have no purpose, they strain gnats and they swallow camels. And so we have people fighting about stuff that is stupid instead of really realizing what is important.
And see how comfortable you are telling me about those realities, because you're in an atmosphere of love.
Absolutely.
See, this is one of the things that's missing. If the church is going to step up, as Lisa said, and be what the church is to be, what Jesus desires to be, the answer to the prayer that we're one with the Father, and this is His prayer, this is the Lord's prayer in John 17, and that we be perfected in unity, that we love one another, and here in the world will know that we're His disciples. I wrote on jamesrobinson.net, I wrote Jesus on Facebook. If Jesus on Facebook, would you be one of His friends?
Yeah.
Would you be in the list of friends? He said, you're my friends if you do what I command. And He said this command, that you love one another. And then that's the command in that reference about friends He came back and repeated. And this is what we don't do. And here's one of the areas where I see the lack of love. We have real issues. We're talking about appetite, where people will medicate with food. I know what it is. If I get, babe, I'm distracted or I got a lot of weight of concerns, I can just medicate with chips. I can chip out. And I've got appetites. Well, people can, I know how we can just eat. There's something going on. But we're not supposed to let our appetites control us. But then we've got the sexual appetites out of control.
Right.
The sex appetite and attraction is far more powerful than the food attraction.
Absolutely.
And it certainly is to boys. I can't talk for all the girls, but here, boy, man, guy, me, I know. It's real strong. It's huge. Mm-hmm. If we can't talk about this, mm-hmm. and when you've got so much sex thrown at kids through the internet and through all the things that are going, through billboards, anywhere you go, listen to me. If we can't talk about what's going on, and we can't get in a family. Lisa talks about the Linuses having an interest in grooming and helping one another look good. If we can't come to one another and say, this is what I'm battling. The church is supposed to be a family setting.
That's right.
Not a place of condemnation and putting each other down, but where we can come and bear our heart, bear our soul, share our pain, share what's holding us captive, and begin to help us walk through it. And one of the things I've discovered, and I was talking to Dallas Willard, who wrote The Divine Conspiracy. He's a very brilliant man. And I said, Dallas, I like to be instantly freed. I don't like this progressive. You know, you talk about the spirit of discipline. You talk about, I don't even like the word. I've learned the reason I don't like it is I don't like discipline. But Jesus called us disciples. And here's what Dallas said to me. He said, I want to tell you that the progressive walk through it, learning to overcome, is far more meaningful in life than the instant load lifting. Well, we need each other. Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
Does this sound like family to you, that we could come and talk about these real hurts, and whether it's pornography addiction, or it's a food addiction, or whether it's a drug addiction, we could come and talk and not feel like we're going to be stoned, but we're going to actually be picked up. We're going to be lifted up out of the mire and out of the pit.
You know, I love it that when I was studying the lioness, each lioness hones her strength. And you hone strength through hardship. You don't hone strength through easy things. They hone her strength for the benefit of all. You've been through things. You've been through things. I've been through things. We need to hone our individual strength, not so that we can build a ministry for ourselves, but that we can benefit all. Yes. We need to understand that my strength, your strength, your strength, your ability to commute, all of that is for the benefit of the body. I love the dynamic of a body coming together and they hone each other's strength, they fasten each other's strength. Instead of trying to run each other's race, we run our own race, we run our race with strength. You know, probably my least favorite book in the Bible is the book of James. Now that bothers my husband, but I don't like it when I read, count it a sheer gift, when trials come at you from every single direction.
Yeah, count it joy.
Yeah, you know, if I call Betty and say, I'm getting attacked up, down, all around, and Betty goes, that's a sheer gift, Lisa. I am so happy for you. I would hang up on her. I want her to say, I feel terrible for you. But God calls an ambush a sheer gift because you know why? It says it forces your faith life into the open. And I think right now God is saying, I'm going to force my church's faith life into the open. I'm going to make them bloom out of season. I'm going to make them bloom places where they never imagined they would bloom. And don't run away from this hardship because this hardship is going to assess your strength. And we're going to find it where we're weak and we're going to find it where we're strong. And we don't like that, but it is a gift when we find out where we really put our trust, what our faith is in. And it says, then when you find out you need help, because it says, if you don't want it to do, I'm sorry, I don't know what I do half the time. It says, then you ask God for help. And it says, he'll give it to you and he won't condescend you. Why are we condescending with each other if God isn't condescending with us? And it says, he'll give it to us freely. But then it says, once he's given it to us, it says, you pray and you pray boldly and you pray believingly. I didn't even know that was a word. We pray so loud that it scares us. We scare the thing that's scared in us. We just pray and believe strong. No, I'm hearing you guys pray what you want to do in other countries. It's scary if it doesn't come through, but you know you have the heart of God on it. You say, God, what can we do? We've got your strategy and we're going to pray boldly. The church needs to pray. It needs to pray boldly. And it says, but anybody that is whiny, wimpy with their prayers, they're like tossed waves. And it says you won't get anything from God. And it says when you keep all of your options open. See, James and Betty, I think God is reducing the options where the church is going to have to be one. We can't be fragmented anymore. God, He's like, you are going to have to be one and you are going to have to pray strong and you're going to have to ask for my help because no one group will have the answer.
You like what Lisa says. You appreciate what she says. I do from the bottom of my heart. Well, you wanted to jump in there.
No, I mean, I know we're out of time, but what you're talking about is the journey. Mm-hmm. We should not be anxious to get from here to here, but what's in between, because that's what God is about. He's about our journey and needing others to help us along that journey, and it brings encouragement and growth to all of us if we allow God to take time in our lives, give him that time so that he can grow and take each step in front of us and allow us to follow him.
Well, he'll literally take our hand and he will walk with us. Mm-hmm. No question about it. If you'd like to have Purity's Power or you'd like to have the Alliance Arising, then all we ask you to do is ask for it. But we are going to request that you focus your attention on something. You know, I made reference to God taking us by the hand. You're going to see one of the last images, a little child waving. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how much I wanted to pick this child up, mm-hmm. but I tell you what you're going to see even prior to that. You're going to hear the strongest, clearest testimony of legitimate need that can be met by you. I've never seen anything that moved me any more than this. Never. Watch closely.
My name is Dufin. Teura sanga mbuvumbe fezao chima nambula zao rai mandrene. Mijale. Azuti ereni titirin razu. Malahi sakafu. Le kere nga vau kere. Chima nan sakafu yereu kere. Ci manancane mi ruru avau. Ajaja rue anu valuvula rue vula. Lahani terak. Ana ajaja rue. Fanimat. Marau malutu ranu, tiranu tu malutu, marare titruai, ranu tu malutu, tiranu tuk. Nalahe lurahu, amana kurueru, ye maharera kahi, mikuhak, azuti burukulu zirahu tiau chimishi tia, tiicha buaku mamunze laputali fe chimishi. Si manambula hikarakara ko. Mi chale.
Ay, mother said it all. God the Father says, water is life. Now listen to me. Betty and I would guarantee there'd be a well drilled where she is. She represents thousands of people on that island country of Madagascar. With 15 countries that our missionaries have pointed to like that, Betty, and that's a... Mom said it so well. I don't know what was going on when you looked at little kids and little boys walking. I walked everywhere with my mother without a father. I saw a little kid wave to get the flies away. Listen to me, please. We can drill some wells. God, I want to inspire freshwater giving everywhere. That's real poverty. That's real hopelessness. But we can give them hope. They're precious in God's sight. $4,800 to drill a well. Help us drill some wells. We've targeted to drill 400. God, I wish we could drill 4,000. They're $4,800 each. That's the average. You give $2,400 and pray somebody joins. You give $1,200 and pray three more people join you. Just do whatever you can do. Please dial the number, take your bank card and say, here it is, here's what I can do. Listen, $48, 10 people water the rest of their life, $144, 30 people water. Betty, I'm just praying that someday I'm gonna ask people to help and everybody's gonna help.
You know, that mother, like James said, the mother said it all, it hurts. It hurts her to see that her other three are possibly going to die because you could see them. The solution is simple, but the need is great. I hope you will join with us and let's do what we can do to give this mother a choice between the good water and the bad water, the pure water and the diseased water. Please join with us.
This is a cure that works. This is not looking at a little child that's sick and saying, I wish we could find a cure. We found the cure, it's water. Clean water. I prayed with all my heart. There wouldn't be one person watching that wouldn't say, look, I'll do something. I mean, I got $24 for five children, five people. But whatever you can do, it's huge because it's life to those people. So please make the call. You can go online, lifetoday.org. We've got some special gifts for you to bless you. I don't know anyone who gives to help us share life, to get something. We give to you because we love you, and we want to also bless you. But there's no greater blessing than giving life to others. Would you make that call? If you get a busy, just be determined and call until you get through. Please say, I'm going to do my part.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease. or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I believe you've made a call, or you've gone online, or you will. And from the depth of my heart, I say thank you. Thank you. That mother, she'll say, Mary, that lady's 30 years old. She looks like she could easily be 70 because she stayed sick from contaminated water. We're going to change that. If you'd like to have Lisa's Purity's Power teaching on CD or Linus Arising, ask for either one. When you send your gift, we'll be sending you the journal, and I hope many of you will help us drill a well, and we'd love to send you the Heart of the Father bronze just to say thanks. We really do thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you. Check out jamesrobinson.net. Share what I'm sharing. I mean, we could literally get a message to the whole world that could redirect our steps and our hearts. Join Betty and me in saying thanks again to Lisa. Lisa, thank you so much. Tell John hi. Appreciate y'all. You're a great, great family friend, and we appreciate you.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.